Right, you are about to hear an advert, but if you don't want to hear adverts, you can sign up to the Patreon, like some of our Get to the Good Stuff good'uns, such as Roger, Cam, do you want to do one?
Shane.
Andy.
Elliot.
Kelly.
Sibo.
Tony.
Rob.
Those are the good stuff good'uns, the elite.
Absolutely.
So, and they'll be listening to this without ads. Lucky fuckers. So if you want to be like these lucky fuckers, sign up to the Patreon.
Patreon.com, get to the good stuff with Jess Skipper.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit-chat. This sounds like you actually have something to say.
What the hell am I doing here?
Well, my tinnitus is even worse now because of the blur.
Oh, yeah.
Is that
blur, blur at the weekend?
I do this thing as well. I'm heavily influenced by things. So that's why I'm wearing a...
Right, yeah.
Sergio Tacchini polo shirt now. If I at this time, this is a complete accident, right? Me and my dad went to the cinema to see Dunkirk, right? And this was a complete mistake, right? I had like these sort of like a combat trousers on.
Yeah.
And I had like a green t-shirt on, like a military hat. I went to see a war film, my dad dressed as a soldier.
That's what I went. Luckily no one could see you.
Legging it to the,
yeah. Oh, very good. Lovely. Camouflage. Nice.
Camouflage joke. So I'm going to start with some, you got kids?
Yeah.
Yep. You haven't got kids?
No.
You're aware what kids are?
Yeah. I've seen them.
So my little girls, both of kids are start playing out. And they go around like that sort of, then they go around their friend's house.
Okay.
My little girl was like, can we go in Bethany's paddling pool? And I went out, I was a bit like, okay, is her mum all right with it? And she was like, oh, her mum's not there, it's just her dad.
Right.
And a bit of you goes,
yeah, it is. And her friend's not there either.
but this is the thing, because I couldn't really explain to him why. You know, I was like, I don't know about that. Yeah. And then she was like, I sort of said, I just don't think it's right you being around there in your swimming costume with dad. And my little girl went, no, it's all right. He hasn't got his shirt on.
Oh, no.
I was going to go, oh, that's what I was worried about.
Right. Okay. So that when his clothes getting wet, comfortable.
Yeah. As long as he's not getting dressed up.
Come on. As long as he's playing fair, you know, if you're going off naked, so should he. Yeah. Because that's what I was worried about. It's all about fairness. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Really
Mark Simmons is here, everybody.
Mark Simmons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Second time Hall of Fame.
Returned. Yeah, you're in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, so who dropped out? Someone did drop out, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
No. I thought they did.
No. We just got desperate.
Ah, fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
No, they did.
They did.
Yeah. You have asked me before.
Yes.
But someone did drop out. Yeah. I was like, I'm free, mate.
But it's even more of a compliment that we've asked you to return.
Yeah.
Because so, you must have smashed it the first time around.
I did, yeah. I was in charge last time.
It was good. I thought you looked at me and thought, someone needs to.
I had to listen back because I couldn't remember what we'd said. I remember it was fun. And I kept plugging my tour and my website constantly throughout the whole thing.
Did it work?
MarkSimmons.co.uk.
What's the tour called?
Crip Off the Mark.
Oh, no.
Is it the same tour you can promote?
Yeah, it's just still going.
Yeah. I just never stopped.
I'll keep going until someone actually comes to watch. No, it's going all right. So, yeah, we're just keeping it rocking.
But you're also previewing the new show. Now, what's the name of that? Because Crip Off the Mark is a great show. Can you do Crip Off the Mark 2?
No, well, the new show isn't going to be what the next tour show is. It's like a stepping stone towards the next tour show.
Sure.
So I just call it New Jokes. Yeah. Really boring, but that's what it says on the tin.
What gave you the idea for that name?
Well, I'm actually doing loads of old jokes in it. So,
the irony.
It's the Crip Off the Mark tour show, but just a different name. No, because I'm going to Edinburgh, and I just discovered a few years ago that, because I used to always do a clever title for my Edinburgh shows, but the title wouldn't really tell the audience what it was. So, like, I'd get a good little comment about from a reviewer. So, the first show I called Mister, so it was called MR. So, as you imagine, that's a rubbish. That's not going to attract a good audience, is it? Because I don't know what that is. But I called it MR because there was a joke in the show where I said I didn't want to call it that. Just when the show application form came at the top, it said title.
Nice. Yeah.
So it got a good comment, but no one came. Second tour show I called Laugh Yourself Thin.
Yeah, I came to see that one.
Yeah, that was because my agent said I should try to attract a bigger audience.
Nice.
People came expecting a weight loss story. And to be fair, the photo was me with some big jeans going like that. So
retrospectively, though, you could have had a little, like they do in movies, a little tagline.
What?
To the show, you could have had Laugh Yourself In and then had the punchline as a little tagline on the...
Or give the joke away.
Yeah, on the poster.
So
you got a joke on the poster, but then people go,
And then they don't know and I do joke.
Yeah.
But I was trying to be too clever, I think.
Yeah.
My third show, which was for Leicester Comedy Festival, I called Whatever You Want, I Couldn't Give a Toss. Because I asked my girlfriend what she thought I should call it. So I did I've got a trilogy of cool titles that don't really work. And then I just
They work if you go and see the show. That's the problem.
No one came to the show. And then one year I just went, I'm just going to call it one-linerer because I'm a one-linerer.
Yeah.
And then that year people came. I didn't have to fly her. Because anyone looking through the brochure was like, oh, I like one-liners. And they came. So from then in Edinburgh, I just keep it really simple.
Well, actually, we were saying the other day, weren't we, Joe, about marketing. You've got to spoon-feed people.
Make it as easy as possible. Yeah.
So
I think you've been too clever.
So, I was. So, thanks, mate. So let's call it new.
So you're
new
playing
jokes.
To an audience of specifically idiots now. How's that?
Yes.
They don't get any of the jokes.
But surprisingly hard. That worked. But this show I thought was just going to be like a work in progress because I've been doing a tour. I didn't think I'd have enough time to really get it together properly. But I've done 4 or 5 previews now, and it's pretty good. It's going away.
Yeah.
So it's like a proper show.
You've got to do an hour of brand new jokes then.
Yeah,
you got to do that.
In Edinburgh. Yeah.
So where's the sort of overlap though? Or is it just like you just start?
Now I'm sort of working towards tours, which I never did before. So the first tour is basically the best of everything I've done.
Yeah.
And then the next tour is, most of it's brand new, but there are still jokes from my past catalogue that weren't in the first one. So they
can quip.
So now they're allowed in the new one if I want, but there aren't actually that many of those now.
Do you ever have this fear? Actually, it goes to all of you, actually. Yeah, do you have that fear that ideas are just going to run out? And it would just go, that fear that you just go, there'll be nothing else. Do you know what I mean?
I used to think that.
Yeah.
But no, they do just keep turning
up.
I'm still
like that. I'm still like...
I think it's about training your brain into thinking that way.
I know what you mean. I can have spells of writer's block and that. But then you come out of the, in a month's time, you go, oh, actually, I'm doing a routine now that is probably the best in my set.
Yeah.
And it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's about opening your mind to it.
Yeah.
Because I could, if I've got a lot going on other than comedy or the tour and I'm not really focused, I'll go like a month without even thinking, oh, I haven't actually written a new joke for ages. But if I'm, I actually open my mind to it and sort of think about it in the morning, or I need to be looking for stuff, then they tend to just turn up.
Well, this is the thing, like, it's just like a lot of what I do, relatable content, and that's not what I do. But then, like, to make it, also, it's like crossing, what's it, parallel. They call it parallel thinking, with like someone's got a similar idea to you.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, because the whole point of being relatable is that other people have got to experience it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, someone else has said that. Well,
Jack went on holiday with Dean Gaffney recently, and there's not many people that can say that.
So, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not very relatable, is it?
What?
I think I'm with Dean Gaffney. That would not stand up in court.
Bet you think you're well hard.
Hey! There we go. Put that one in the show.
MarkSimmons.co.uk.
There we go again. But do you know what I mean, though? That there's a crossover of...
I think the key with observations is like trying to find the one that people have experienced, but no one's... Yeah. Sort of worked out that everyone's experienced it, but that's hard. I mean, I wouldn't know. I can't do that stuff. That's
well,
I
even the
I
man
do.
Draw, like McIntyre's Man Draw, a few years ago before that, Jim Owen did a song about, which was titled Third Draw from the Top is Full of Shit. Oh. And it was essentially the same thing, but not as, you know.
Well, there you go.
It's all about finding that the angle is different, I think. Yeah. As long as it's not worded the same and the actual essence of the joke isn't the same, you put your own spin on it, I think.
Yeah.
I think
and there's also this thing with observation where it's a brave thing. Because you go, cool, you know this weird thought that I have.
Absolutely not.
I like the idea that you're going on stage going, come on, Jack, be brave.
That's exactly what I do. That's exactly what I do. I just go, you know what it's like, didn't you? People just go,
I have over the years tried different observations. I thought, oh, that's an observation. I'll try and do it. And I don't know if I can't tell them. I just not haven't got the knack of, because it is a skill, real good, like a skill to tell those things. Or it's just I don't have the same observations as other people do, and that's probably more likely.
But also there's the thing of like sometimes this is the thing I've always said this about, this is more like your podcast, this actually, because I'm gonna say
welcome to
like,
jokes from Mark
Simmons. Because it's like things that don't work. I was thinking, I've said it to you before, that with videos you don't need to be too clever. People do this, don't they?
They do.
Whereas stand-up, you can't really get away with that as much. You can't go, people do this, and you don't just look like 100 people just agreeing.
There has to be a funny element.
Yeah.
I think that's what's agreeing, my problem make a sound with impressionist. Because a lot of times I'll be like, oh, imagine Sir Ian McKellen shopping. And he'd be like, oh, I need a new jacket. And it's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and
then, you know, he spends most of his time in the staff room.
Oh, that is good. It's good.
It must be exhausting.
So I don't know, actually. Comedians, well, I don't like, it makes me feel weird.
Who come on?
No, sorry, impressionists.
Crowbar jokes into the.
What were you going to say though? Sorry, I interrupted. But
no, I'll tell you what.
Point.
What I was going to say is, with Jack talking about relatable, me and Jack gigged together on Thursday, and I was at the back of the room when you were on, and there was lots of, you do. There was a lot of that, and then the queue formed, didn't they? It was quite something.
For a refund.
There was a lot of selfie action. Now, you said that was one. You did come up and go, that doesn't normally happen, but it was quite something.
Don't tell
to
me on the podcast.
Was it? You said that happens all the time.
Was it at your own show?
No, a club gig.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's great.
But that's the thing. Like, I'm not one of them people who, like, I'm like, oh, this is annoying. I'm like, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I always say goodbye to everyone as they leave my tour shows, and then you do the selfies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I'm at the point where, you know, some people don't like that sort of stuff. Like, I'm sure we all know comics that are, you know, well known, and they're not really into chatting to the people after and all that. But I just think I've been busting my ass on the circuit for so long. I'm like, I'm so happy that you've come to see my show.
Yeah.
And ideally, we want to come back again.
Yeah. I want to tell you. I want to shake your hand. Thanks for coming.
Well, I'm exactly the same. I as long as it's positive. How can you not respond positively? I love your videos, mate. Not now. What makes me feel a little bit weird, going to talk about impressionists, impressionists doing impressions of comedians. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're essentially just doing...
But I like it if it's a niche comedian like no one knows. Like, you know, like in the, if it's done in the green room, like it's quite fun. If
as a performance,
I mean, oh, so many people have got you, Tom. So like, so what? Many people do impressions of you. It's like you just, it's really fun.
Do they?
I do not know.
I'm a niche comedian. Am I?
I don't know if it's because he's easy to do, but I think McIntyre is the most popular.
Oh, McIntyre gets done.
I can't do it. I'm terrible at impressions.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's fine. We can be here.
That's good.
Impressions. Yeah,
that's
not bad.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
Who else can you do?
Whittacombe.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Who are those people?
Oh, my God. Look, why aren't you doing this?
I just said,
you know what?
This is brilliant.
Let's do Josh Whittacombe and Why
is he shopping?
With Ian McKellen.
That whole thing I said about I don't like impressions of comedians, take that back.
Yeah. No, who else do you do?
I don't.
Do Jack Skipper.
Jack Skipper?
Is that it?
I'm too bland. I used to be able to do
if he spent more time with you, maybe.
Yeah, I'll get there. But I'll be honest, I didn't even think I could do Mike McIntyre.
You just smashed that straight away.
Yeah. That's really good.
Maybe I should do that. Because he's got a lot of money, isn't he?
Can you do other people that aren't comedians?
Not really, no.
I reckon you could, though. If you could do...
If I took the time, I reckon I could. If I took the time and listened...
So what was your point you were going to make about this going shopping? You're saying that's not...
To write, they're gone, right, imagine, Tony Blair, and they've just literally said a scenario, and that's it.
Right.
That's the joke over. Mm. They go, imagine Tony Blair, you know, going into Aldi's. It's like... Yeah, Cherie, I have to say. No, I can't.
That was diminishing returns, though.
I find it interesting now he says Aldi.
Yeah, I thought that as well. I'm going to put him up on
Aldi's.
Aldi?
Oh. Trying to make Aldi posh.
Aldi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose. I'm saying this the wrong pronunciation.
Which is really... Things are, you should have left it at the McIntyre impression.
I cannot tell you how under pressure I feel right now. I feel like I'm the guest and the question's going on. Mark, have you ever shit yourself?
Mark does this when he comes on podcasts. He just takes over.
He flips it.
I never do it on any other podcast. It's only yours. It's just I don't feel like you've quite got the presenting just yet.
You can sense the lack of authority in the room.
I can imagine him going on Diary of a CEO. Just flipping it.
Yeah. What is your portfolio? What do you own? I know you're on Dragon's Den and that. What else you got?
I was watching that Diary of a CEO.
I never heard it, but I always see it's at the top of the charts.
Yeah, and he just tells that thing. One he said the other day, he said, loneliness is as bad for your health as smoking 14 cigarettes a day. Who's worked that out? It's like, they're the same symptoms.
What a study.
That's what I was going to say. You're right, mate. Yes, a bit left out. It's like a weird, like.
Doctor diagnosis.
Yeah, how he's come up with that. It's a weird one.
I need to prescribe you some friends, mate.
But no, because I've looked at the reels from it, and it's always a guest on, then he makes him cry.
What? I've never seen it either.
It's like, you know, he gets into their childhood or something, and then there's a bit where they have to.
Should we do that with Mark?
Well, you're going to get. We're going to ask him silly questions.
We never know where it might lead.
Tell us about your childhood.
I did shit myself when I was a child.
Well, let's get into that then. That's okay. A good segue, isn't it?
Well, I was a baby.
Were you alone?
Stuck with his trauma. His mum and dad were like, oh, he shit himself.
is this a common thing that people who shit themselves a lot? Like,
I'm starting to think we talk about it too much, though.
I can only think of one time I've actually shit myself where I've had to go and sort myself out afterwards. And I think I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
It was, I don't really know why I did. Like, it wasn't really a good reason because it was like in the morning. So, like, if it was something I'd eaten or something, that would have happened much earlier, I thought. But it was. I used to work on the markets when I was quite young, and I worked on a card stall. And
you work on the markets. I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I used like to, Mark Fowler.
Yeah. Well, he was fruit and veg, wasn't he?
I
didn't ever do fruit and veg, and I always wish I did fruit and veg because that's like the classic, isn't
it? That is, yeah, yeah.
But I did. I did loads. I did clothes stall. I did a toy stall. I did.
Was it your stall?
Or you I was sort of working on them. So I was sort of, you have to put the stall up, and it's quite a lot to it. It's horrible. I had to get up really early. So this one, I was working for this woman where she lived in a village nearby. So she used to pick me up from a bus stop in a big yellow van. So my mum would have to drive me to the bus stop, and then at 7:30 in the morning. So I sort of just left the house.
Yeah.
And then just, it was a classic, you think it's just a windy pops.
Yeah.
And it was more. Oh. And that never happened before. So I was like really freaked out. I didn't know what to do. And the mum said, just go in and change your underpants.
Oh.
So I did all that.
Good and on, then, mom.
But I did it quick. I don't know. I feel like I was paranoid the whole day that it was still sort of horrible.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
And then, but the thing is, so the woman that owned the market stall, she had 3 daughters. And one of them, my age, was like so beautiful. And I was obsessed with her. And the older one was quite fit. And the younger one was too young.
So it explains why you're working on the market now. Again, I'm starting
to understand. It sounds like a weird version of Jack and the Beanstalk, doesn't it? Like his mum sent him out, he shat his pants.
What's that got to Jack and the Beanstalk?
She sent him out with the cow. The mum sent you out to make your fortune at the market.
I tell you've got kids, because I do not remember Jack and the Beanstalk.
I come back with these magic beans. They're not beans. Yeah. Shit is off.
What did you do? Yeah, did you bring back magic beans? No, I shat myself on. I'm sorry.
Let's bury it in the garden.
It's good for the plants.
Yeah.
Right. So I remember being like really worried about which, because it was always one of her daughters helped her as well. And right. It was like, it was quite like, oh, is it one I fancy? It was hardly ever the one I fancied. There might be a reason for that, because it's probably obvious because I just kept staring at her. She was just so beautiful.
Yeah. Whew. I know that feeling though.
I haven't had that for ages. Have you? Do you still get that?
I know that feeling of being on a school trip or something.
Yeah,
and you get to sit next to the girl you fancy, saying, and they're sort of like,
"Oh, so bad."
Oh, like, I really like
we went to a boys' school, so different from me.
Yeah,
I was so bad with like girls and that. Then I wasn't.
It seems
like,
to be a common thing on this podcast.
It is, really.
Yeah, but I was as well. So it's like
just terrible, really. And so, I think that's the end of the story. I shit myself, and then I was a bit paranoid. I don't think she was. I think it was the older sister.
Yeah.
Did you ever attempt to ask her out?
No. But I remember it was around the time that phones were invented.
Like 1912.
Mobile phones. So yeah. Everyone had the Nokias.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was quite late getting one.
Yeah.
But I knew she had one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was all excited in my head. You're such idiots when you're kids.
Yeah.
I was really excited that. This is my chance, because I'll get a number and we'll be texting. And then I did get a number, and then she just didn't ever reply. So it was like, I think. It's like, because I was just this weird little kid that helped her mum do the thing.
Yeah. So. It's like, do you know when you're texting someone, and it's like, you know, when you're waiting for the little banner to come up with who it is? Yeah, it's that feeling when it is their name.
Yeah.
And your heart goes, oh,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's just that feeling, isn't it? Or when you check it in, it's mum. You're like, fuck's sake, mum.
Have you left your shitty pants in the rear room?
Yeah, Weirdly, I get that feeling when your mum texts me.
That's actually nice, everyone. Notifications. You put up a photo, you used to have a photo on Facebook, it was like 2 likes. Yeah. Auntie Rose and mum.
They're still there, still liking them. Awesome.
That's always a really disappointing
is
feeling.
That who was in your queue?
Yeah. I think a lot of them were called Auntie Rose, I reckon, though.
There was a couple of women accosted you before you tried to get on stage, didn't they?
Yeah.
And,
I don't know if I should say this. We can edit it out if it's weird, but that guy,
what?
A bloke accosted me. He went, oh, this is great. He went, oi, you can shag my missus if you want.
I didn't see Jack for the rest of the night.
There was someone to offer you something, and you go, cheers.
Has anyone said that after a quip off the mark tour show? Has anyone said?
About shag, like,
do you want to shag my missus?
I've never had that, no. You get the occasional sort of DMs that are a bit weird. Like a bit sort of,
but that's DMs. Imagine getting that face to face.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't know how
in Northampton.
Yeah. Occasionally, when I do photos, occasionally you get a bit of a bum squeeze from from women.
I'm not like that. No,
not like a real like. Just but like they sort of brush. They put their hand and sort of brush it. I think a bit violated. I do that thing, and I feel like I'm probably not at the level where it matters. I don't know. I don't really know. But I do that thing where I have my hands there, but I do the, is it Tom Cruise or no, someone that just doesn't, it's so clear that they, I'm not touching them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm just worried about people sort
yeah, you got to be careful.
So I think, you think of yourself as a Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That's what I get from that.
I think it's between the shoulder and elbow is safe space.
Right.
Touch them there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So squeeze their biceps.
Yeah, just do it there. Just not the...
Interesting.
Does that feel... not feel...
No, that is horrible.
That is horrible. Stop that.
No, it's a safe space, so...
Just don't go... Just there, not the anus.
Yeah, never the anus.
Not again.
Not again. Not for a photo.
Do a little talk about it. Oh. Do not touch him here.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Well, as well, just,
actually, have a selfie. Yeah, yeah. You get your finger out my arse.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yeah, you got to be careful. That's what I said about that. The new. Are you on Threads? You on it now?
Oh, yesterday.
Oh, you clear. You clear up on there, weren't you?
Cause it's, nah.
No.
Well, I've never been very good on Twitter either. I just never quite mastered it.
People love it for jokes now.
No, they don't. That's been gone. If you started, when Twitter started, if you were doing jokes, you'd smash it. But people just fed up. They don't give a shit about that. It's just got to be something about real life, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, jokes don't get anything now.
Because I've never done Twitter, but now I'm sort of understanding what it is because of this. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
What are you doing on it?
I've just done two or three things about, I did one about 10 years, people will be looking at this, trying to get me cancelled.
Right.
Yeah, 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 sort of like, yeah, yeah, oh, no, yeah. No, no, so, yeah, whatever's okay now.
You think your career's going to last 10 years?
Well, yeah, I'll be cancelled by then, yeah. Just a double cancel me. Probably sleeping with a man's wife.
He gave me permission. It's fine.
Yeah, I think she has to agree as well.
Yeah,
that's true. Nowadays.
But I'm just saying, I don't know.
Imagine that. Turn up and be like, oh, it's Jack Skipper. What are you doing now? Your husband said I could shag you.
Yeah. Like, he said it was all right.
He said it was all right.
Or worse, she doesn't know who you are.
do you ever get that one? It's a weird thing people say when they come to you and go, I think they don't want to give you anything. They go, my friends like you, but I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
That's a weird one, isn't it? People like that one.
Yeah, because with the tour show, people like bring groups of mates. So quite often you get someone who's like a big fan of the reels or whatever. And then, yeah. But that's the best compliment is when they say that and they say, but I liked it. Because that you've won someone over that didn't like it before.
Was there a bit of trouble with one of your tour shows recently?
Yeah. Oh, there's been loads. Not trouble.
Loads. Oh, God.
Not trouble. But I've had a lot of drunk women heckling. And I think most of those were, they came with people that were big fans of one-liners. And if you aren't a fan of one-liners, it's a lot to sit through, a whole hour of it.
Mm.
But I think, is it New Key that you were referring to? The venue...
I know it was eventful.
The venue, they got the wrong end of the stick because it was like a last-minute change of venue and they were just advertising it as a comedy night. So this one woman came to watch a comedy night, but she just didn't understand one-liners, so it was a bit much for her. Oh, she kept drinking and then just kept shouting out constantly.
But what was she shouting out? Like, I don't understand this. Like, what was it that she...
Just like,
do you know what I mean? I've sat through, like, films and I've even sat through a play where I haven't understood. Yeah. But I haven't gone, sorry, guys, I don't know what's going on.
That is really funny, though. The idea was just the woman's going, I don't understand!
Well, the way they do it...
What is happening? Why are you all laughing?
Oh, I did. One of my videos that went viral was a woman saying, what is the laugh? That was what she said. Yeah. What is the laugh?
It's
perfect. I had no idea what that
meant. Was she talking about your laugh?
Do not know what she meant.
It's a perfect bit of audience interaction in the video.
Yeah. What is the laugh? So I was like, is this your first comedy night? And she went, yeah. So I was like, oh, she just done. Does she mean what is the joke? Like, not doesn't know what to call the joke. Like, I don't know. And I had to. It's a fun bit of interaction. Yeah. I just sort of explained what comedy was in kind of a friendly but
slightly patronising
way.
Yeah. I remember Sean Knox said a thing. He's like, people looking at it going, why does he make such a fuss at the end of every sentence?
Nice.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
So did she get escorted out or did she stay the whole show?
I've had loads of different things. So, I always try to keep them in. I really don't like the idea of people getting kicked out of a tour show because they spent money to come see it. And they, most of the time, they think they're having a fun time with whatever's happening. Like I had one at the Leicester Square Theatre and what she heckled me with this. She went, I thought you were shit, but you're actually really good. Like that. Like really loud, drunk heckle. And before I went on for my bit, one of the venue staff said that she's started vaping. So basically, if she does it again, we have to kick her out. So just to pre-warn me that might happen. So I knew there was a bit of a drunk woman there. So she heckled that, and then she kept chipping in. And it got to that point where, this is what I don't like, is when I can tell the audience members are being annoyed. So they're not having a nice time. So in that case, I'd rather she leave than them not have a good time. But I kind of just, I was really nice to her because a security guard sort of stood near her and I just went, look, I really want you to stay, but you might not be able to if you keep talking. And after that, she was really nice. But I just went really nice and just explained the situation to her. I don't want you to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that seemed to work. And also, because sometimes if you... I think my persona, you know, I just try to be nice when I'm on stage. I feel like if I instigate someone,
such an
arsehole.
He's so horrible on stage.
if I instigate, even if she's ruining people's night, if I instigate someone getting kicked out, it's a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
It's a bit much. And I feel, I don't know. So, but that worked, just being nice. Yeah. But sometimes they're just uncontrollable because they're just drunk way too much.
Well, you know, there was that weird, you was there, weren't you? I used to run a pub gig, right? Everyone. I ran a pub gig, and there was that. Were you there with the woman who was organising the chairs?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, this was you.
Yeah.
It was like a pub gig. Everyone just get a chair and sit down. It's sort of part of the.
Yep.
The fun.
Unprofessionalism.
Yeah,
the
unprofessionalism. Oh, you're on this podcast, you know it's a lot.
I'm actually sat in the other room at the
moment. but she was like, at first I thought she worked there.
We thought she worked there.
Yeah, because she was like, maybe you put a few chairs here. And I was like, that's not a bad idea, actually. And I was like,
facing the stage, good idea,
that. Yeah, I mean, okay, you're doing there.
Creating a space. Maybe we should get a microphone.
I'm going to get up and do a bit, I think.
Some comedians and a microphone. This will be a good night. And then what happened? She started getting more and more involved.
Yeah, and the running of the night.
And then the running, maybe, and I was like, sorry, do you work? You don't work here.
Lying you to get off.
Yeah, no, but then she was like, because it was an all-male night because a female act pulled out, right? Just making that clear.
Yeah, many males pull out.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Sex joke.
.co.uk.
Sexjoke.co.uk.
Sex joke.
I love that I've done it so much that Jack does it for me.
Yeah, I was doing that. Yeah. No, we're probably going to get like a little button just for Joe to press every time.
.co.uk.
Yeah, but then she's like, yeah, I think you probably need more females on the bill. Who the fuck are you? You moved one chair and then you've got...
What was crazy? Her boyfriend came out.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe, feel free to bleep this, went, okay. I know, guys. I know.
Wow.
And that, anyway, yeah. he was like, I've got to get rid of her. He was,
but
so,
then he said to
he
me,
was, looked
then,
like
then
he was,
went, you can shag her if you want. Seems like a lot. Right, you're about to hear an advert. If you don't want to hear an advert, you can sign up to the Patreon where you will hear no adverts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's the most drunk you've ever been?
One of the most drunk I've ever been, I spoke about last time on the podcast, so I won't repeat that. Oh, there is a really embarrassing.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, I don't know.
Simmons.
No, I don't come out of this well. Really?
Okay.
So it was the Eindhoven Comedy Festival.
Oh, it was a... Oh, right.
You let a comedian story. Shaggy Mrs.
So... So it was like 3-day thing, and it was really fun. And it was a while ago, and they kind of sort of acted the venue and that. They acted like we were quite big deal, but I was not a big deal. And they always presented us with some wine after, like a bottle of wine after the show and stuff like that. It's a bit weird, and we didn't drink after each show, and the wine sort of built up. And then the last show, we had a big blowout, and then I ended up going to the into town with like the bar, some of the bar staff, and then I went, got so drunk, it was snowing as well. Ben Tarjay, he was there.
Mm.
He was my wingman at the time.
Nice.
And I went back with this girl, but I sort of, when I got back, I vaguely remember that I was too drunk to be able to, you know. Yeah. And then we went to sleep, and then I woke up still drunk. I went to find the toilet, right? And then I went to the toilet, to the bit where the toilet was, and I just, it's pitch black, and I could not find the light switch. I was like, in Holland, how do they turn lights on? I was so drunk, and it was really, and I really needed a piss. And then, oh, this is awful, but I pissed in their kitchen bin.
Oh, no.
And overflowing kitchen bin.
Oh, like no.
I know, that is awful.
Could
right?
you not make it to their kitchen sink?
I didn't. I don't know. I was really drunk.
So that's just how they do it in Holland. It's just they have some bacon.
Yeah. I do remember there being some eggshells on top. It was like a proper overflow. Wow.
Runny egg.
And then I went back to bed. And then in the morning, we when I was, you know, it was all working properly, we had a nice little bit of, you know.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then... And then it ended up, so it was a big, and when I left, hungover the next morning, quite early, because we had the flight that day, and I was in the middle of Eindhoven when it's snowing, and I didn't know where I was. So I could, and there was no Google Maps or anything then. So eventually I found where it was last minute, and then got to the airport, and then the flights got cancelled. So I'm still sort of texting her every so often, and I thought, you know, flight's cancelled, got another day,
nice.
Go and get a little bit, you know, yeah. A little bit more. And then we were texting, and all of a sudden the text stopped. And she just never texts back.
Oh.
So I think that was the point that they discovered the bin situation.
Yeah. Oh. Is that a bin bag in it?
I don't know. Would that have helped?
I don't know. Because you're going to pull the bag out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Either way, it's not a horrible job to be confronted with in the morning. Yeah.
It's not a proud moment.
Well, maybe they should think about where they put their light switches in future.
They should, actually. I don't think you come out of it looking that bad.
No, I took a piss in a stranger's bin in their kitchen.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. It's better than, you know.
Thanks, guys, for your support.
We do this a lot now. I think this is lovely. People come on, they tell us embarrassing things.
Tell us embarrassing things.
We go, it's not that bad. Then we wait for you to leave.
And then we
it'll still be a good clip.
Yeah, we clip it up, put it out everywhere. And then next time you do a tour show and you ask someone what's their hobby, they can reply, pissing in a bin like you.
Yeah. I've never been that edgy. We're getting drunk and doing
Mark, you're a good man.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah. I think this podcast must cause people a lot of anxiety when you come on as a guest and they walk off going, fuck,
what have I said?
That's why Joe's in our producing, because I used to edit, and Joe is a much more moral man than I am. Yeah. So it's like, it's fine now. And I feel at ease to say whatever I want. Because I used to sort of edit myself and think, is that all right or not? I don't even know if that's all right or not. But then Joe...
The trouble is he now controls your entire existence.
Because
anything... You have to do anything he wants now, because he's got so many clips probably that will finish you.
No, Jack's all right. Jack's all right. Well, Mike Rice, he's in trouble.
I'm obviously on this podcast with Jack. We've got the sketch show together. We do a lot of gigs together. Like, if Jack gets cancelled, I'm like, I'm like kind of like Deck looking at Ant with the drunk driving going, come on, mate. This matters to me as well.
How annoying is that?
Oh, so annoying.
You're saying you're like Ant.
What's his name?
McFarlane.
No, Declan Donnelly. Is
I was remember watching Olympics years ago, and it was a Chinese, what are they like, pairs diving. They dive. They
Oh, synchronized
diving. And it was, I remember their names, still Wang and Peng, right? And Wang fucked it up. How annoying. So Peng just beautifully, delicately.
Yeah, landed, straight in
and
the
Wang just fucking belly flopped. It's completely out of like Peng's control. So he was a boom. Like, fuck. You could just see him like getting out of the ball going, fuck you, Wang. 4 fucking years.
That's, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Blimey.
Imagine that.
Peng don't, and Wang.
Yeah,
the classic.
Yeah, don't be.
If we Google Peng and Wang, are they actually their name?
Right, I'll be checking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe, double check. This is Joe.
There you go. He's got my back. He's the Robin to my Batman.
Mark, yes? What makes you happy, mate?
Oh, that's nice.
It's a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we need that after the horrific.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots make me happy. It's just boring answers, aren't they? What makes you happy, I think.
It's his question.
It's my question.
Like, stand-up comedy really makes me happy. I love it so much. It's like...
What do you hate about it?
Yeah. There we go. What does I hate about stand-up?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really hate much.
He's gone through the bad bits, hasn't he? He's now...
I don't really, yeah, I mean, bad gigs, but I kind of, they're quite fun though. Some, do you know what I mean? They're like, I think once you get over that bit where you don't know, if you don't truly know if you're any good, that's when you really beat yourself up after bad gigs.
Mm.
But once you know you're good at this and you understand that if it's a bad gig, there's a reason it's a bad gig.
Mm.
It's not you. It's something that's happened in the room or... People just don't like your style of comedy. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that doesn't, I don't get bothered by that anymore.
Yeah.
So I
think because you've got the both things, you've got like online and the stand-up. What about the online? You're just used to that as well now? Is there things you don't like about that?
I'm pretty good. I'm quite thick skinned and I'm pretty good with people like shit comments.
Yeah.
But occasionally, if it catches me on a bad day, it'll annoy me.
Yeah.
But I've got quite a strict any negativity block.
Yeah, I'm
straight away block delete. Yeah. No matter, just and sometimes I think I've probably blocked people that were just fans and just having trying to be funny because sometimes people try and be funny and they're not very good at being funny.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So they can come across like.
Why'd you look at me when you said that? I'm trying my best, mate.
We all know.
Does this one ever annoy you? Do you ever get like compared to anyone or like say?
Whenever anyone says you look like someone, it's never a good-looking person. Yeah. That's what I find.
But I meant generally like your comedy, though. Oh, that's just, you're just doing.
Not
you
really.
You get people say you do Jimmy Carr's laugh, don't you?
Well, I've consciously held that back now. I rarely do that anymore because
it's just his laugh. Stop being yourself, all right?
Yeah. I got reviewed once I was supporting Sean Walsh on tour in Glasgow, and someone reviewed me and they said. They said he's something about similar sort of joke style to Tim Vine. He's stolen Jimmy Carr's laugh. Like I'd watched it and gone, that's the good bit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm having that. And stolen Frankie Paul's nose twitch. I didn't know he had a nose twitch and I didn't know I had a nose twitch. So it was weird. So you do get that sometimes. And someone actually said I'd stolen Jim Owen's thing. And weirdly, Jim Owen came up again.
Yeah.
But it was me just with a book out, just going through jokes and ticking off what works and what doesn't, like a new material gig.
Yeah.
And basically, Jim Owen had a video on YouTube, I think, where he was doing that as well. So people that don't really know about comedy and how things work, they've seen him do that and gone, oh, that's just genius, that bit, where he's going through the book, not realising that's just what comedians do to try new material up.
But you know, I find it's weird with comedy, because you sometimes get a thing, because the way you learn is by being inspired.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You
absolutely.
Have someone, you think, oh, I like that, so you try and emulate and you use it as inspiration, right? So it's saying that's a part of your comedy DNA. So if I grew up watching Alan Partridge, grew up watching The Office, I'd do impressions of them and I'd act it out and talk about my friends. But then now I create comedy and try and use it through my own... view. So it's like it's in there, but to say it's like ripping it off, whatever. But weirdly, you only get it in comedy. You don't get like someone like you, it's like Arctic Monkeys will bring out an album, and I go, and they'll say it in a good way. They've been inspired by the Beatles album Revolver, and say it in a really positive way. They're just doing the Beatles. In comedy, it's like
But sometimes, see, when I started comedy, I went very surreal because I wanted to go the opposite of I don't want anyone to think I'm like anyone.
Yeah.
Because that was just the people I was starting comedy with. That was the vibe, was, you know. But then you see loads of people are like really similar to other people. And what TV people go is, oh, they're a bit like that guy. So we put them in there. So that actually sometimes it does work out. Yeah. Right, if they just want another, say someone's got really famous and there's someone coming up that's a bit like them. Well, that famous person's not doing our TV show. So if we put the other person, it's a bit like them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
I've
seen that happen.
Because I just find it weird, the whole sort of like, because you get it a lot on like, because, you know, I can't deny when people make comparisons to what I do, compare it to things like Ricky Gervais, because it is in your DNA where you learn to do it. But I strive to write original stuff and do that. But then to say, because when you have something that comes along, like The Office, say, that changes the landscape.
Ooh. Oh, gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
TV shows sort of were influenced by The Office.
Yeah.
So
what did that comment I showed you the other day? That bloke, it's a rip-off. He moves his eyes like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, he moves his eyes.
Yeah. I'm like, you can't copyright that.
Everyone else's eyes are like dead still.
Look dead forward. Do not move your eyes. It's like, it's really weird. Like,
but some people, it's all down online. It's jealousy. And people see someone doing well.
100%
of
what
it is. They're sad about whatever they're doing in their life, and that is where it all comes from.
Yeah.
I think pretty much across the board, anyone that's, you know. So sometimes I'll comment and I'll be overly nice. I go, look, dude. So for you to make comments like this, I know you're going through something. I hope it all works out. And all that. And it's very hard for them to be a dickhead to you after that.
Oh, I might try that. Yeah.
So it's quite nice because you make them
kill them with kindness.
Yeah, but you also make them feel bad. Because they're like, oh, he is nice. I was a bit of an arsehole. So maybe that'll have a knock-on effect and they won't do it again.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I hope. But
it's weird how...
But I do feel bad for people that aren't... I think because with stand-up, once you've done it for a while, you do get thick-skinned because you're going out there and people are judging you constantly and you have whole rooms of people not laugh at you. Like, you do get hardened to criticism and things.
I do try, but sometimes it's that... Even if I'm thinking I'm doing... I did a gig the other night, come out... And there was two people in the first section. I was on second, right? And I come out, that was all right. I really enjoyed that. I come out and I overheard people, because it was during the thing, and I overheard someone, I much preferred the first one. Head was all high, head just dropped. I pretend I couldn't hear him say it.
But again, that to you is like a, because it does hit you like a, like a cuss, isn't it?
Yeah.
But comedy just is, some people like things more than others.
Yeah.
So even if you smash a gig, there'll be people in there that go, actually, I preferred the guy that did the observational stuff.
Yeah.
Or the opposite. Some people love one-liners, and you could smash with observational stuff, and they'll go, no, that was good, but I preferred the thing that I like.
Yeah.
But you just take it personally because.
Yeah.
But I think as well, that's why I get like online with trolls for comedy, because there's a thing, some people do not, they can't grasp the fact that it's not for them.
Yeah.
So it's like, objectively, it's not funny. Do you know what I mean?
When someone criticizes, like, maybe the way you've done, put the video together or anything, I'm just like, you're getting this for free. And how can you criticize it? Like, it's free. It's 20 seconds of your time. And lots of people have liked it.
Yeah.
And you're, I just find that mad. But I sort of try and get them. Another thing I quite like doing is commenting to get them to comment more. Because the more they comment, the more they're going to see all my videos. So if they hate me, they're going to get loads of my videos. And then they act like you owe them.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, you've invested nothing in this, yet you feel like you're in a position to...
But they do it to me with like, I do brand deals, right? Mm. And I reckon I do about 8 a year, right? And I put out about 4 videos a week, right? Yeah. And someone will comment going, oh, doing ads now, is he? To what a sellout. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You didn't fucking help.
You've had all these free videos. Am I not supposed to make any money at all?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is as well, the funny thing is that someone comment going, oh, advertising's getting involved now. It's like, well, if you're not a fan of the corporate world, get off fucking Instagram, you dickhead. Yeah. It's not like you're living in the woods like the Unabomber. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking, it's like you're on Meta. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, like, what are you think? What do you think is going on? And it's not like, adverts are everywhere already. Yeah. I invented it.
So I sometimes get worried that I plug my tour too much. like, because I...
What's your website?
Mark Simmons. but like, that's really funny. But it's like, well, that's, you know, I've put all this time into editing. It takes ages to edit the videos, film the videos, do all that stuff, subtitle, put it out.
It's good we've got Joe.
you can let me have, do you know what I mean? If I don't sell tour tickets, then it's all a waste of time. Because the money I make on tour is, it all adds up. You've got the writing of the show that takes forever. You've got the editing. The outcome is you get people to come, and that's your payment for doing everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I have to advertise my tour all the time because that's to live the
dream.
Surely
someone hasn't gone, oh, why this again?
So, well, occasionally people will go, people are idiots online. They'll go, another tour show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
but that's the thing, that's the crazy thing about saying. And also, it's not like
there's
sellout.
So many people.
It's not, well, I say they call me a sellout. It's not like, this is to feed my kids. It's not like it's like a fucking like, do you know what I mean? It'd be easier to take if I was minted. But it's just like a bit, do you know what I mean? It's not like it's fucking, and the geezer kept doing it as well. He commented it and he was like, J&R plastering.
Oh,
That guy. And I was thinking,
advertising his plastering business.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, the mental thing is about it, that's like him doing like 500 plaster walls for free, doing one, and someone going, you fucking sell out.
Yeah. Charging now.
Pay for that.
Oh my God.
It's like mental the way people, I don't know, it's crazy.
People are idiots.
Yeah.
Like, online.
And also, this was happening because I've started selling tickets now, right? And so, but what was happening over there in the comments, people reselling the tickets comments.
No.
I was like, fuck
off. They're scams.
I know.
Yeah. What happens is if you write tickets anywhere in your they'll go, I've got two tickets for sale. They're scams. They're just going to take people's money and not give. Right. So you need to delete that.
I did that. That's what I did. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Did the right thing.
No.
I nearly bought two. So that was lucky. but it's the face. Proof that it works though.
Absolutely.
Get big online. Get big online. Do you ever feel a bit of jealousy?
With what?
Coming from the way you've smashed it, Mark, haven't you? With the old.
Oh, do I feel jealousy or.
Do people keep aiming it towards you?
No, I don't think so. No?
You're quite well liked on the circuit.
Wow. I think because.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
you haven't made it to that circuit yet.
So. That's why I'm back on the podcast. Please like me.
I don't know. There probably are people that slag you off behind your back, but I haven't had that to my face at all.
There was a big meeting. There was an article the other day, wasn't it? Someone wrote about saying, I don't know who this guy, I can say this, O'Connor. About the guy who was saying people just doing comedy for clips now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, I know that guy as well. He was in Australia when I was in Australia. Right. He's a Portuguese guy.
Did he come to watch you with the notepad? Right.
So what was he? He was saying that it's just the way the industry's swinging, isn't it? That it's that people are just, like, some people, I think, do now just do loads of crowd work in the hope that there's going to be clips, but they haven't put the time in. Probably to develop their act yet, which I still think is the important thing.
That'll only be a problem for them though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
When people come see them. So if you want to fill your boots, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a problem for the industry, is it? I think the more tickets, like, I think it's great to see.
People see what they want to see online because of the algorithm. Yeah. So.
Do you ever get these things come up on your, we're moving away from like comedy, but just more generally. Do you get these videos coming up of like people teach you how to TikTok, how to get more views and all that? Do you ever see
that's never come up on you?
I've seen one or two where it's like, if you want to do it, and they're just like, I don't understand what people want views for if it's not. Do you know what I mean?
Essentially,
it goes like, say for me, like, it goes one way. You build an audience, and then you can do a tour, and then if you're just going, I've got a million views, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just in the ether. It's like a drug, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess I do get it.
Actually, I do understand it a little bit. But it's like.
But you're right. It needs to be I feel like it needs to be towards a goal of, you know, being able to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you started learning how to do stand up. did you did the videos first, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, how can I? I've got a talent here. How can I try and maneuver that into, you know? Did you always want to be stand up?
The thing. I went to do stand up, then pandemic happened, so I had to go. Then I had to make videos because I didn't.
You started doing stand up?
Well, I was about to.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Yeah. There you go. So I don't know if that's what I was trying to say.
But no, but it is a thing. But it's that I was aiming. I think
you weren't just doing it for the sake of. Well,
when I first started, I remember making first bit of money from it, and it was like when I had the offer, I was like, "Ooh!" It was never a part of the plan. Do you know what I mean? It was just like I genuinely enjoy making like funny videos, but maybe something like that gave me like a spark to go, okay, maybe this is a thing, because maybe I wouldn't have done it as consistently. And diligently as I was doing it, because I think like sometimes it's like if you're just chasing the views, it's got to be pretty fruitless, isn't it? When you're thinking
yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I guess what do you mean? Like if people are making videos and they're consistently never getting any views, but they're just chasing that.
Yeah,
because
it's like I think we
because you get some
it.
Open mic comics that. Are still going since I started, and they're more like sort of hobbyists with it.
Yeah, but that's fine, isn't it?
Just like doing it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Put videos out. I don't know.
But I think that say them open mic guys, you're talking about, like, they'll just go and do it and walk away, and they won't go. They won't go. Oh, there's only eight people there. Yeah, they'll just enjoy it. But these people going, oh, I didn't get enough views. But you think, why do you want them though?
Yeah.
Why are you chasing it? do you know what I mean?
Are you talking just about regular people, not someone who's a comedian?
Not comedian, just general. Like,
yeah.
Just general. You need to get the views.
I think if I didn't have to use it for sort of work, I would try and not be on social media, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do have this sort of fantasy in my head of like making it and just coming off it. Disappearing. Yeah. Going to be a beard.
I guess, you know, because I said like I grew up on the markets, quite entrepreneurial from a young age. That's what I like about it because you get to be in charge of your own destiny. So you put out what you want to put out and then you see the rewards come in because, you know, people like a video, they buy a ticket to see the show. I love that system.
Yeah.
I think if I got to a point where people would just buy tickets, but anyway, I think I still want to be doing that. I really like it. I like the sort of...
Yeah, I'm trying to work out in my head like how much of it is ego-driven in my head.
But then also with my content, I'm not having to think of ideas and work out how to film them and all that. My stuff just comes naturally from what's going on stage. So that side of it, I have to do less work than you because I just have to edit the bits that worked and that came up. But you've actually got to create that.
I think that's what I do because I feel really lucky. I do feel like, wow, this thing's happened to me. And I do feel, is it imposter syndrome when you think it's all going to just end?
Yeah.
I have a lot of that where I just think I've been lucky to get
this
far.
Is it imposter syndrome if I think it about you? Is that the same?
You're not coming on again. Mark.
Yeah. We have fun. Come on. I get that as well. Definitely.
Because you just feel like, oh, this has been lucky ride. Do you know what I mean? Is that and you just got like that's what I said, as we said at the beginning. Like ideas is going to run out, and sometimes I get up. Have I done this one before? Do you
know what I mean? Online, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't think because different people will see it, and if people like a thing, they won't mind seeing it.
I think you can repurpose, can't you? Just put it back up, send it back around.
I have done a couple of sketches, but I want to do more because I really enjoyed the process of doing the filming. I did a couple of sports
ones. Oh yeah, I saw the football ones.
And that went really well. Yeah. So when I think on Instagram it had like a million views.
Well, do you know why it went well as well though? Because you didn't. It's like it was different, but you didn't change. It was still one-liners.
Yeah.
So it was still on your same flavour.
Interesting you picked up on that. Yeah. So I do want to do more of that, but I don't know how you do it because I just finding time to film it and write the piece and get the right angles. And do you get someone to help you film or do you film it? Have you got a big...
I think part of my thing is it's naturally a bit sloppy.
Right.
It's a bit more raw. Mm. It's a bit... I've tried to do like really polished... Like when me and Tom got the YouTube show, and we put a lot of effort into that, didn't we? Like,
yeah.
And like, make it look nice. And when you cut it up, it's the stuff, that's the thing that I'm passionate about and I love, but it doesn't get nearly as many views. Mm. But I just love
doing it.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. So if you want to, it's not worth the effort for what you're giving.
I think doing a YouTube series is tough to get right. Like, does anyone have a YouTube series that actually takes off these days, as in a long form thing?
I don't know.
No, but I think that's what attracted us to it. Because it'd be like,
maybe we can make...
We can do. We can be those.
By the way, by the way, listeners, it's a very good series.
Yeah, it might never happen.
Yeah, I've seen...
Let's see, has he watched it all?
I haven't watched all of them, but I've definitely seen two episodes.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
MarkSimmons.co.uk. No.
No, it's really good. Yeah, but when I was watching, I was like, how easy is it to get people to sit and watch
this?
Because it's like a TV show. It's great.
It's
well put together. But people just don't sit through things anymore.
That's another thing
with a sketch show. What I was thinking, like, I was listening to a Saturday Night Live podcast, I think, and they were talking about, even on Saturday Night Live at that level, some sketches always hit and miss. Some really hit and some don't. So I'm like, if you do two, three sketches that hit and you do one that doesn't land with that person, these days I think they probably just switch off after that one.
Yeah.
It's like, but no, you've just seen that these are good and there's probably going to be some more good ones. But I think people are just so like used to, if you're looking at something on your phone and they're like that,
Just get rid of it.
I think that's, I reckon it's hard to make that work.
It's not, but I think it's not, sometimes it is nice to get lost. So there are moments when you do get lost in a film or a series. Mm. It's like, oh, I remember this feeling of like sitting down, not distracted. It's like,
well, now with series, if I'm not excited about the next episode, I just won't carry on the series because there's so much to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, this is why, even like, that's why box sets are massive now. That's why, because streaming services are in competition with each other. So it's the competition is to keep people on your streaming service.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it is something like a sketch show, you might watch one episode, you might watch a couple of sketches and just turn off.
Yeah.
You need to have that cliffhanger moment where you go, oh, I need to watch the next one. It's about keeping them on.
Apple are absolutely nailing it.
Yeah, well, I think they just must be pushing loads of money into it.
Like, yeah, like I watched one like Ted Lasso and I had this thing. So I started watching, there's a new one at the moment called, it's got Idris Elba in
it. Oh, I started watching that.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a film each episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really good at keeping you wanting the next episode. Yeah. And then I just watched another one, which was The Silo, which is about, it's like a dystopian future thing, which is amazing. Mm. And I just started watching another one. Like, I was just going through all the Apple. But in my head, I was like, oh, it's just Apple. That'll probably not be very good. But they're all really excellent. So
this is it.
Severance.
Watch Severance. Yep.
Anyway, it might never happen. It's really good.
It's on YouTube.
It's on Apple via YouTube.
Yeah.
All right. So what you're telling us is we need to get on Apple.
So I found that because we
I did that as like an interview of like someone like Tom Cruise on his new film, and you just recommended him other films.
But maybe they're recommending your YouTube series.
But we did a YouTube series. Which you were in. Were you in the first series or second series? We did two series.
It was
series
the best episode, I think.
It was called the best episode. But that, again, like, it was hard to get good numbers. And we did have a lot of people. Even now, that was about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Even now, I get people do say, oh, we loved Wheelbarrow Town.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, but the numbers aren't huge. But people did like it. So it was a good thing.
Cult classic, not bestseller.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but people, cult classic people come to after, don't they?
Is it? I didn't know that.
Isn't that what happens? As in people, in a cult classic, like it didn't hit when it first came out, but then it's people sort of love it.
Well, what's
afterwards.
Shawshank Redemption? That's because that's surely not a cult classic anymore. Surely that's now.
It went into blockbuster level,
isn't it?
Yeah, but it was cult classic.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. It didn't do good business when it first came out, and then it just seemed to then now is in always in the top five best films of all time.
Because The Room must be a cult classic.
That's the,
Is that like these?
Yeah.
I interviewed those two.
Did you?
How was he?
As a person,
it was the weird. You think this is weird? It was the weirdest interview. Do you know The Room?
Is that
Tommy Wiseau?
Is it about mum child of the?
That's Room.
Yeah,
I can see why
The Room is a film that is known as the worst film, but people love it because it's so badly made. And they even made a film about the making of the film.
Yeah. Mm.
But this guy.
Why are you guys here? I don't know where he's in. Just like they know they're making the shittiest film.
Honestly, Jack, if you've not.
Why are you recording us making this? No, just. We think it's going to be really good.
The first time I went to see it, I didn't know anything about it. My mate went, oh, come with me. Yeah. Watch this. And we went and saw it at the Prince Charles in London.
Oh, it's on there all the time.
And
there,
it was brilliant. So if you've got. We'll go and see it.
It's brilliantly bad.
We'll do a team night out. We'll go and watch it. So try not to look up anything about it.
Okay. There's no point in us talking about it really unless you know about it.
Yeah.
Then it's very difficult to get across what
just how weird
like.
This guy's like. Just he's the writer, director, star.
Because they hear it, and the other guy whose name escapes me brought out another film together.
Right.
And then Nick Helm and I interviewed them because we were both doing separate radio shows on FUBAR. And it was so, so awkward. And he talks really strange. And you could do the accent because it's not offensive because no one knows where he's from.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, there's always been this thing that he might be gay, but he's very opposite of that. Like I think in the film, it kind of, that the film about the making of the film.
I understand why this film is because Mark can't even explain.
Yeah, it's layered.
The film that was about the making of it, like, suggested that there was some sort of a bit of a gay undertone of like, does he fancy the guy he's working with?
Right.
Yeah.
But he's very, well, I had the experience that he's very sort of overly against bringing that up. So. Right. On my and Sean Walsh's radio show, we had a thing called Ryan or Ryan, where, because we had an argument that I think Ryan Reynolds is fitter than Ryan Gosling, and Sean thinks Gosling's better.
Okay, Reynolds.
So Gosling.
There you go. So every time we have a guest on, and we had Oscar-winning directors on, and we'd always ask them, it's a bit of fun, Ryan or Ryan, and they'd always join in. And I asked Tommy Wiseau, Ryan or Ryan, which would you? And he went, a stupid question. Stupid question. Why did I answer that? Stupid, stupid question. I'm not answering that. Silly question.
You pushed the button there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's definitely something there's something going on there. But that made it so fucking awkward. It was really, really weird.
How does he get funded for these films? What
that's another thing. Apparently it's just like
unlimited money. He's from money, but no one knows where this money's come from. It's a real interesting story.
Yeah. It is interesting story. Someone who can't make a film for loads of money.
Honestly, it's like the greatest vanity project ever made, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a rubbish film. It's brilliant. It's so rubbish.
Yeah, I can't sit through
it. I want to come with you guys. So we all go and
watch
it.
Yeah.
For it. Let's do it.
Because
it's like when you watch it. Because you know, like a lot of films on like Amazon Prime are rubbish. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of rubbish on there.
I don't go to Prime at all.
It's always like so many films about geezers just like doing geezer things. But I was thinking that like they must just have so much, they must make so much money. Because people just go, what's it about? I don't know, cocaine.
Yep.
Cocaine and football.
They have a fight at some point.
something.
But I'll tell you where there's not rubbish. On YouTube. Might never happen.
And on
marksimmons.co.uk.
Yes.
Where you can buy tickets to his tour. Quip off the mark. Is there anything you want to plug?
That's what I was going to
say. Your podcast.
We're going to wrap it up. And I was going to say, is anything we want to plug? But it's pointless because Mark just plugs, the whole
jokes
way through.
Podcast. The Jokes with Mark Simmons podcast.
Yeah.
You're meant to have come on recently, both of you, but you were on holiday, Jack.
Yep.
I tried to rearrange it, but you were going on a date. How did that go?
Did you?
Yeah, remember I said, can I come on later around 4?
Oh,
I can't go 4. I'm going on a date.
Oh, I can't remember which one that was.
Pissed in a bin.
Pissed in a bin.
But no, thanks for coming on again, Mark.
No, it's
Mark.
Mark
Simmons, everybody.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.